Inspired by a true story, Ensemble Theatre's new production Fly Girl follows Deborah Laurie's turbulent journey to becoming Australia's first female commercial airline pilot. At just 23 years old, after working as a flight instructor, Laurie applied to Ansett but was repeatedly rejected. Founder of Ansett Transport Industries, Reg Ansett, claimed women were too unfit to fly large aircraft due to their menstrual cycles. To chat with us about this remarkable true story and the new production by Ensemble Theatre, Emma Palmer from the cast joins me in the studio now. Good morning, Emma. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thank you for coming in. So in the 1970s, at just 25 years old, Deborah Laurie endured extraordinary pressure for over 18 months to become the first person to win a case under the Sex Discrimination Act. A triumph that changed the future for Australian women in the workforce. It was a huge moment in the history of feminism. And I'm wondering, what does this play and this story mean to you personally?
Just even hearing you ask me that question gives me goosebumps, because it's just, well, A, it's such an honour to tell this story. And I think part of the reason is I find it immensely infuriating that more Australians don't know this story, because as you say, she really was, it was a landmark case. So for anybody who's listening and doesn't know a bit of the background, so Reg Ansett ran one of the largest airlines back in the 70s. So it was the, you know, some of your listeners might be too young to remember, but it was the equivalent of Qantas, right?
Yeah.
And he was a massive misogynist, didn't believe that women could handle big aircrafts, that they could fly a plane, that you needed physical strength, and that they're to manage a big plane, that women's menstrual cycles made them hysterical once a month, and so they just couldn't be trusted. And the Deborah Laurie trying to get a job at Ansett coincided with the Equal Opportunity Board in Victoria being formed, and they were looking for a landmark case, right? So there are about 70 cases that came across the desk of the Equal Opportunity Board, and they do all their background checks, and they didn't think that any of them were strong enough to win. So they needed to go, the first case needed to be one that they felt sure that they could win. And Deborah Laurie's came across their desk, and they felt really confident that they could win this case. So they took it to the Equal Opportunity Board, and the whole thing snowballed, because of course Reg Ansett was a stubborn prick, excuse my French, and just wouldn't take no for an answer. Yeah. So he kept appealing. They had such a strong case that they kept going, and this protracted campaign ensued. And ultimately, you know, she won and she won and she won, but he appealed. And I won't spoil it for anyone who comes along, but it ultimately ends up being a really good news story. And this case is now the case that gets referenced when you're studying the Equal Opportunity Act at law school and things like that. So I was in fact talking just the other night to Deborah Laurie's brother, who went to study law. And he said, yeah, here I was at university and I was studying my sister's case.
Oh, that's incredible.
So it feels really special to tell this story. I'm a 43-year-old woman, massive feminist. Myself, yep. Always championing, the rights for women in the workforce.
Absolutely.
And equal pay and, you know, equal representation at leadership levels. That's a really important thing for me. So it feels extraordinary to be able to share this story.
And how relevant do you think Deborah Laurie's story is for today's conversations about sort of gender equality, workplace bias, representation?
Well, I think it's hugely important because, we're not there yet. The stats still demonstrate that we're not yet there yet in terms of equal pay, in terms of equal representation. We're getting there, but we're not there. And so I think to be reminded of where we began is enormously important. And I think that's something that we can sometimes take for granted. We can take the progress that we've made for granted to a certain extent. And to think that, you know, it was only 2 years before I was born that she was actually allowed to take to the sky in a commercial aircraft.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not a huge amount of time. So I think it's really important for us to understand we've made enormous leaps and bounds in the last 45 years, but we still have so much further to go. So we can't keep fighting. We can't. We have to keep pursuing that equality because it's so important.
It is
for
very
the
important.
Next generation.
Yeah, and did you have any sort of personal interaction with Deborah herself during the preparation for this show.
Yeah, so the two writers who wrote the show are two phenomenal women called Kath Moore and Jen Hegney, and they are both in the show with me.
Wow.
So they wrote the show, they are in the show, and they've worked really collaboratively with Deb for the last 2 years. So Deborah's become a very close friend of theirs and Aww. Is, you know, just at the end of a text message at any given moment. So she's worked really hand in hand with Deb and Kath and Jen in the writing of it, specifically around, you know, the case and around any of the aviation stuff. So mm-hmm. she's been a direct consultant on all of that. And then obviously I came in through the development phase of the piece and then in rehearsals, and Deborah came into the rehearsal room on a couple of occasions, and she's been in through, obviously since we've been in performances, she's been in about 6 times.
It's, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really,
loves it.
It's so special oh. when on the nights that she's in, because any yeah. night that she's in, we will, when we do our curtain call at the end, we'll do our bows and then we bring Deb down to the yeah. stage, and we often will get a standing ovation just by oh. ourselves anyway, which is always a huge delight as an actor. But then, you know, we might have half the theatre standing for us, and then we go and get Deb from the auditorium and we bring her on stage. And my favourite thing to do in that moment is to watch the faces of the audience
yeah.
because you just see them like realise, oh, this is the actual woman that we've yeah. just invested in, that we've just fallen in love with, that we've just watched her fight and her journey. And you just see people leap to their feet
oh.
and like and genuinely get moved. I've seen people cry in that
oh,
moment, whip their
beautiful.
Phones out to like get it on, you know, get it on the socials and all of that kind of thing. So it's really special the nights that she's in, and she's been so generous. She's been in, as I say, we're only halfway through the season. I think she's been in about 5 or 6 times already.
That's incredible. Hopefully we get a few more visits from her.
Yeah.
And this play includes quite a large variety of characters. The cast of 5 portrays over 40 different characters, which is just like, honestly, mind-boggling.
It's madness.
How many characters do you play, and how do you not mix up these lines?
So we've got one girl who plays Deb, and that's all she plays. So she just yep. plays Deb. And the other 4 actors in it play, yes, between us, we play about over 40 characters. So I play, I think on my last count, I play 8 characters. And so across the, and then I think Kath plays upwards of 13 or 14 characters. Some of those characters are only, you know, for a scene. They're just incidental characters. And then other characters have, you know, a real journey and a real arc. So I have the great pleasure of playing Deb's mum. I also play her barrister. So in the second half, I play a man called John Dwyer, who was her barrister. I also play we've got this gorgeous gaggle of characters that we endearingly call the hosties, and they are air hostesses for Ansett in the 1970s, and they sort of operate, if you're in any way theatrically inclined, they're a bit like a Greek chorus in the sense that they pop in and out throughout the show. They have these lovely little scenes that are snippets of life in the 70s and the perspective of women and the lives that women had to live in the 70s and what that was like, but they also have that wonderful theatrical device of being able to ask questions about the case and about what Deb's going through, sort of from the perspective of the audience, the same sort of questions that you might be asking. And my hostie is Margaret, and she's beautiful, heartfelt, lovely, little bit gossipy, lots of fun.
I love that. Emma Palmer, thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. You can catch Fly Girl at the Ensemble Theatre in Kirribilli until November 22nd.
And I'll say one more thing. If you happen to be under 30, we've got under 30 tickets, so it's really
oh, wow.
affordable for for your audience as well, if
absolutely.
They happen to be under 30, and definitely worth coming along.
That is great. If you are under 30 or not, you can grab your tickets at boxoffice.ensemble.com.au.
Get in, because they are selling really, really fast.
Thank you so much, Emma. You've been a pleasure to chat with.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.